Today's reading is taken from Luke chapter 14, verse 1 and verses 7 to 14. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honour at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honour, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honoured in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbours. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today's reading places Jesus at a meal, hosted by an important religious man, a Pharisee. Pharisees often invited Jesus in so they could catch him out. It seems from the words at the end of verse 7, he was being carefully watched, that this meal was no exception. But Jesus was also watching them. And he didn't like how they and their guests were behaving, picking the places of honour at the table. Jesus didn't have much time for Pharisees. He often rebuked them for their holier-than-thou attitude and for leading the people of Israel away from the heart of God's teachings. So he told them a parable about guests who take the place of honour at a wedding feast. And in the final paragraph of today's reading, Jesus tells his host who to invite to his next dinner or banquet, not the people you would expect. We'll look at that a bit later. But first, please could the ladies who were given party hats when they came in stand up? Who can work out the connection between all these ladies? Yes, they were married. All married, but where? Yes, that's right. They were all married here in St. Giles Church. Well, three of them were married here in St. Giles Church. And in fact, two of them are going to be married here in St. Giles Church. And yes, I know Natasha's wearing a hat as well, but actually she wasn't married here, but she has conducted the wedding services and she will conduct the wedding services of some of the ladies here. These ladies walked down or will walk down this aisle in this church, and each one said or will say, "I will," right here in front of God, their family and friends. Maybe it will be, or maybe it was, a strong, loud, "I will." Or maybe an emotional, close to a whisper, "I will." After their marriage services, our brides will have or had wedding feasts, big parties to celebrate. Hence the party hats they're wearing today. Thank you, ladies. You can sit down now. In verse 8, Jesus starts his parable with the words, "When someone invites you to a wedding feast." Let's think about that for a minute. For most of us, I expect being invited to a wedding is a big deal. I can count on one hand the weddings I've been invited to in the last 10 years. What about you? Oh dear, Natasha hasn't been invited to any. Let's imagine we receive an invitation to a family wedding. In fact, the kind you might expect an invitation to. And you'd be a bit put out if you weren't invited. You look forward to catching up with family you haven't seen in ages. For the young ones, you've been told there'll be a bouncy castle and giant games for them to play with, so they look forward to it too. Let's imagine you arrive at the wedding party and it's an informal, no seating plan, sit where you like affair. Let's also assume that there is a big buffet stretching all the way down one side of the room, and it's go up when you fancy self-service style. Thinking about taking the place of honour in verse 7, or taking the best seat if you like, what would be the equivalent at this wedding party? Any suggestions? Yes, I think definitely sitting at the same table as the bride and groom would be a bit cheeky. Particularly if they're always sitting there already. Or how about sitting at the table nearest the buffet? Or the table nearest the bride and groom? Or the table with the best view? These are all equivalent to taking the place of honour. So have we done any of those things? I may not have done them at a party, a wedding party, but I'm sure I've done something similar at the men's group curry night. Sitting on a table I thought might be called first to the buffet, but in fact I find it's the last one. I'm sure someone's done something similar to that before. So let's get back to this wedding. The party's in full swing, the buffet is open. You've sat down with your plate of food with a couple of cousins, and you start catching up with them. Out of the corner of your eye, you notice someone on their own, whom you don't know, kind of hovering, unsure where to sit. What will you do? Will you ignore them, thinking, I'm not the host, there's plenty of place to sit around the room, and you focus on your cousin, who has just started another of her hilarious stories about where she's been and what she's been up to? Or will you get up, walk over to the lady you don't recognise, invite them to sit with you, introduce them to your cousins, and make an effort to get to know them? Now, let's imagine we receive an invitation to a friend's wedding party. Someone you went to school with years ago, and with whom you're recently back in touch thanks to social media, but you've not seen them for ages, and they will be the only person you will know at the party. Do you think, wow, what an honour, my friend wants me to be at their wedding party, I am so glad I've been invited, whatever it takes, I'll be there? Maybe you think, yippee! A wedding party, such fun, I can get a new outfit. Double yippee, an opportunity to make lots of new friends. Or maybe you read the invitation and think, will there be loud music and dancing? I feel embarrassed dancing. What if my friend is too busy to chat with me and no one else talks to me? Not sure I'll go. Or maybe I'll go, but I'll just pop in a short while, just to be sociable and then leave. But what if your friend has told you about their family and friends, and there is something about them that helps you overcome that anxiety? You can't put your finger on it, but the way your friend describes them, there is something special about them. Will that swing it in favour of going to the wedding party? Imagine you pluck up courage. You do go to the party. But when you get there, it's one of those informal, no seating plan, sit where you like affairs, with a big buffet stretching all the way down one entire side of the room, and it's go up when you fancy self-service. The music is loud. Everyone seems to know everyone else. So you go to the bar, get a drink, and then straight to the buffet and load up. So, turning from the buffet, plate of food check, drink check. Where to sit? Oh boy. But as you are standing there, stuck between the buffet and social oblivion, a lovely lady comes up to you. You don't know her, but she seems really glad to see you and invites you to join her and her cousins. And they are equally friendly. And before you know it, all your anxieties are distant memories and you relax into feeling welcomed, included, appreciated. And you have an amazing time, just like your friend said you would. The Bible tells us that's what heaven will be like. There will be the best welcome ever, forever. There will be no cliques. We will all have our friendship with Jesus in common. The best music ever, forever. The best conversation ever, forever. All provided by the kindest, most gracious, most generous host ever, forever. And just imagine, that is how church could be too. To finish, I have a few questions. One, do you know you will be at Jesus' party in heaven? Really know? God knows everything about you, the good and the bad. He loves every one of us, and he doesn't want anyone to miss out on a relationship with him now or with being with him in heaven forever. How will you respond to his invitation to accept his son as your saviour? Are you interested? Do you want to say, I will, but have lots of questions? Natasha is always happy to answer any questions you have. If you are already confident of your place at Jesus' party in heaven, who will you invite to be there with you? Will you invite just family, friends, people you might expect to say yes? Or will you consider different people? The kind of people that Jesus spoke about at the end of the reading. My stepdaughter Grace invited to the evening party of her wedding a month ago a friend she used to play netball with, who now lives in Sheffield, even further away up the M1 than Northampton. Grace could have thought, my friend is not likely to drive nearly 3 hours just to come to our evening party, so why invite her? But she didn't think that. Instead, she thought, I want my friend to know I would really like her to be there. So she sent her the invite. And the friend accepted. And her friend drove down from Sheffield, and she had a great time at Grace and Wayne's wedding party. I know I need to think and act more like Grace, to offer the invitation and to let the outcome be what it will be. Thirdly, in a while, when you're invited to come up to receive communion or a blessing, how will you respond? Will you take the bread and the wine with a glad and grateful heart, awed and aware that only Jesus' act of self-sacrifice makes it possible? Or have you grown accustomed to receiving it? And will you take it for granted? Do you need a fresh revelation of God's love and invitation at the heart of communion? Lastly, would you like church to be more like Jesus' party in heaven? If so, how do you need to change to make it so? Believe and trust that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Those questions again. How will I respond to God's invitation? Who will I invite? How, with God's help, do I need to change? Amen.